You are listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most inspirational minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean.
And I'm Mark Edwards, riding shotgun again.
When are you going to take over the mic for real?
Next year.
Next year.
And that's not far away.
Is that a New Year's resolution?
It is. 2020 is going to be the time I'm going to be sort of sitting back here on the other end of the microphone.
Well, I will hold you to that, definitely. If you want an accountability buddy, that's me.
That's you, not everybody else on the end of this as well.
Yeah, and everyone who's listening, if you don't hear Mark take the interview mic early in the new year, I want you to write to him. Anyway, moving along.
So who we got on the podcast this week?
This week, we've got David Holman, who is the CEO of Direct Connect.
David's got a really interesting story, doesn't he?
Well, he does actually. Not only has he been in energy for quite some time, which is a really interesting area to be in at the moment because of the trend towards sustainability and obviously everyone being wary of energy costs increasing and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I guess being in a moving company, like what are some of the things that you really hate doing? I mean, for me, it's moving.
Packing boxes.
And I think for most... yeah, right up there with going to the dentist and sticking pins in my eyes. Anyway, yeah, like tell me someone that loves moving unless you're sort of sitting in a cocktail lounge while somebody else does it for you. I don't know.
Now, that's an idea.
That is an idea.
That's the concierge. Of moving.
Yeah, but Direct Connect are really trying to make things easier.
But this is what they're doing as well, isn't it? They're almost bringing that concierge of moving to the tenant, to the vendor, to the buyer.
Well, they're working on this thing called One Click Move, which I tried to get some info out of David about. But there's some great insights in this podcast on a whole bunch of things. You know, like one is customer service and Direct Connect's approach to customer service. So there's a lot of service takeaways in there. If you're thinking about your office structure, particularly going into 2020, Direct Connect have an open plan office. And David says there is a direct return on investment because they've invested a lot in their office.
Oh, it is stunning. It's the old redhead matchstick factory.
Yeah. You know, you and I have both been in there and it's a pretty interesting building. So David talks about office structure and how it's set up for collaboration and how you can get people to talk to one another more. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of leadership insights in here in general. So if you are aspiring to be a leader, then there's a lot of good information here from David on his journey through leadership to where he is today.
He's had several positions, not just in Direct Connect, but throughout the organisations. And obviously with Direct Connect being part of a larger organisation, I think there's some good tips in there as to how to deal as a leader within a business as well.
Yeah, and you'll hear David talk about this, is how he looks at the skills that are missing in Direct Connect or the skill gaps and then looks outside the energy business, which I actually think there's a great parallel there for real estate agents because, you know, sometimes you look at how consumers change and how your business needs change and things like that. And, you know, you're not necessarily looking at more people with real estate industry experience. You're looking at, you know, what other industries can I learn from and bring that marketing experience in or that service
the complementary stuff.
So lots of takeaways in this episode.
And as usual, you get the notepad and the pen out and take a few notes after you've had a chance to put the cans on and listen to it again.
Yeah, and I always pick up different things when I listen to it a second time. And there's lots and lots of takeaways in this one. And if you would like to get my notes, they are at eliteagentelevate.com. Just stick your email address in.
And away they come to you.
As if by magic, then they come to your email inbox.
If you want to level that up, though, you can actually join Extra and a letter will come to you in the mail. Now, yeah. It's not actually a letter, is it? It's more of like a booklet. 40-odd pages of the actionable action guides from the last month, plus a few extras that are thrown in there.
I always like to give extras. Well, that's why it's called Extra. Because, you know, for some people, 2 months is a long time between magazines. Mm. So, you know, like getting something every month from us in the mail that's not a bill is actually a really fun thing.
That's up there with moving. You never like looking at a letterbox, is it? Except when you're expecting to see Extra in there. So one of the good things about Extra as well is that you can actually write on it. It's printed on regular paper so that you've got the ability to be able to dog tag it, put your post-it notes on there, highlight it, write on it, and, you know, sort of take your own thoughts as you're reading through there. So get amongst it. leadagent.com/extra.
Absolutely. That is where to go. And to support the show, if you could hit the iTunes subscribe button if you enjoyed this episode, we would super, super, super appreciate that as well.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's about it. I hope everybody enjoys the show. As they say,
on with the show. All right. So welcome to the podcast, David Holman.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. You've been in our magazine in the last month. We did a great interview with you on that big slippery dip in the Direct Connect office, which I was at the office, I don't know, it was a few months ago, and they wouldn't let me slide down it.
I think it's compulsory when you come into the office that you must go down the at least one of the slides. We have two of them. You've got to have a little bit of fun. If you're hanging out in an office, you know, 8-10 hours a day, it's got to be a place that you enjoy.
So just for the folks listening in, instead of stairs going down, you can actually slide from level two down to the next floor using, like, it's a proper slippery dip.
It is. We've got a slide from level two down to level one and another one from one down to ground. We do have stairs, so you can walk down the stairs if you want to.
Yeah, not as much.
No, that's right. That's right. Look, we've got 1,000 people in this office in Richmond and Bryant and May. You know, it's this beautiful legacy building built in 1909, and we managed to design the interior ourselves, and we designed it sort of with our people in mind in terms of what they'd enjoy. And there's a little bit of, you know, we take what we do incredibly seriously, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. So you got to have fun at work.
I really loved your office when I went there. There was a couple of aspects that I really loved apart from the slippery dips. And I'm interested to know its impact on productivity, actually, because these open plan offices are a thing now, you know, where you don't have cubicles. And I believe you don't even have an office, even though you're the CEO of the company. You know, I remember you could go and sit in a cafeteria-like place in the sun on a lounge. Like, you know, you could actually take your laptop up there and tap away. And also the team can bring their dogs to work.
That's right. In any given day, we might have 20 dogs in the office, and we've actually got a Google board that people can log into and find out who's got a dog in and what's happening, and people will go and meet each other. It's one of those things in terms of really encouraging people to collaborate. And some people don't like dogs, some people love dogs, and just having those conversations and meeting people that you wouldn't otherwise meet. And I think that's been the biggest gain in productivity, is to create that level of collaboration, create the spaces that really, really allows people to have those key conversations, meet each other, start talking about what they're doing in their day and in their work, and hopefully then say, well, how can we help each other be better?
I think it's so easy these days with all the technology that we have to rely on that on so much for communication. But I think, you know, like what you've done with your office is fantastic in terms of people walking up to other people and using the common spaces. And what do you think in terms of productivity? Has the new layout of the office paid off?
I think absolutely. We're seeing a number of pieces of data that really do tell us that the productivity is improving. I think everything from our engagement as a business, and we've got a number of businesses here. So I'm the CEO of Direct Connect, but we also have our Red Energy and Lumo Energy within the same building now. And in terms of engagement, we've seen our people engagement improve, and engagement is all about ultimately productivity. So if people are engaged with their business, then they'll go the extra mile for the business. And we certainly see that. And then that level of, as you say, people can come to work and sit on email and use the technology, but to some extent maybe hide behind the email and the laptop and not go and have the conversation, which is where the key activity happens in terms of solving problems. So we do see have seen an improvement in productivity, but we've equally seen people wanting to come and join the company. So once they see the space and hear about the space and talk to people that are working here, we're able to attract talent to our business, and that's very important, getting the talent in and keeping them.
It's a couple of interesting takeaways there. So number one is that you become an attraction business by having a place where people want to come to work. And secondly, happy employees do lead to greater productivity, which is like a win-win-win all round.
Well, that's right. And ultimately, I guess like customers, you want your customers to be your marketers, but with your people that work for you, you actually want them to recommend the business as well and bring friends and colleagues and recommend the business to come and work. And I think that's excellent. You know, when you go through a recruitment cycle, they may not know much about you and vice versa, but if we've got people recommending us and saying, this is just a great place to work, come and see the place, not just the physical space, but how people interact, then that's gold for us.
Absolutely. So you're the CEO of Direct Connect, which most people in the real estate industry know about, but you've actually spent quite a long time in the energy industry itself. So can you give us a little bit of a background on your career so far?
Well, in the energy industry, I started with BP in New Zealand. I then went over to London and worked for a BP Statoil joint venture for 3 years around the commercial industrial space and selling natural gas through to large industrial users. Back to New Zealand working for Contact Energy as a fuel trader and then M&A work over into Australia looking at buying energy companies over here. So I came over to Australia in 2000 just as the Olympics were on. So I was living in Sydney and enjoyed the Olympics. It was a great time to come here. Yes, I've been here 19 years, worked for Origin Energy in various retail parts of the business. Sales and marketing and business development, and then ultimately joined Red Energy, which is our primary energy retailer. Again, that was set up out of New Zealand. It was a beachhead company into starting up into Australia, and joined them 9 years ago. We then acquired some other assets, and one of those was Lumo Energy, and then ultimately Direct Connect. And we acquired them around 4.5 years ago.
Interesting. And the energy industry is always changing, and it's in the news all the time, like particularly with rising energy costs. And I think the trend towards consumers wanting more green energy, more sustainable methods of energy. So what are some of the big trends that you're seeing in energy right now?
We're ultimately owned by Snowy Hydro, so we have renewable energy as really as our source, and we're embarking on Snowy 2.0, which is really a battery in the mountain, if you like. It's a hydro station that has storage, and then we supply renewable energy into the grid. So we're certainly seeing that customers relate to that, and that renewable energy is an important factor in their decision making, obviously with affordability being a major consideration in making a choice. I think customer service is a big factor, and making sure that if they do need us, we're here and we can solve any problems that they need. Obviously, nobody enjoys particularly ringing their energy company. It usually means that something has happened. But if they do, we certainly have a lot of people that would contact us. We have about 2.5 million inquiries every year, whether it's phone calls and emails, etc. We're here to solve that. And I think that customer experience is incredibly important. I think that the industry has sort of moved, you know, and even in technology, you know, it used to be accounts and people talk about meters and accounts. And I think, you know, really need to make sure that we're conscious of the fact that you're talking to real people and there's a customer there and that they are dealt with their due respect.
Yeah, well, I did notice when we went on the tour of your office that there was a whole floor dedicated to customer service, like people on the phones, people on the emails and things like that. So it's, you know, like I can't remember the last time I called my energy company, but it is definitely comforting to know that you're not going to end up somewhere on the other side of the world. I guess you're going to end up talking to a real person here.
Well, we designed the building around the people that are talking to the customer. So we put them right in the middle of the building. So it's not just a one floor. Right through our three floors, we have 60% of our people would be, their job is to be talking and interacting with customers. And so that's 600 people in the middle of the building. And it's the whole vibe that we've got of the building in terms of interacting with customers. And then we have the other people that support all of that activity. They can go and sit wherever they would like that's most appropriate for what they're doing.
So with consumer expectations increasing all the time, like it sort of seems like in the real estate industry particularly, people want everything and they want it now. What are some of the trends in connections that you're seeing? Like, what are some of the things that you're moving towards with Direct Connect, which real estate agents might want to know about in terms of their ability to provide services to their customers?
Well, I think what we're seeing is people want to be kept informed, you know, very, very quickly. You know, they don't want that uncertainty. A big part of what Direct Connect does and our ethos is to make the move easy. The point of that is actually just to provide the convenience, but the certainty to take the worry out of what is a very stressful time in people's lives. So bringing technology coupled with that empathy that people, they've got somebody to talk to, and that peace of mind, basically, that everything's going to be okay when they go and move into their home. And we're doing that equally with our referral partners to make sure that the technology that we're deploying, coupled with our account management network, they are absolutely comfortable that what we say we're going to do, we'll deliver on it. That's extremely important to us.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're relying on you guys to deliver an amazing service for the customer to think that everything's amazing, like on the whole.
That's right. And look, we live in a world where you can track your pizza from oven to mouth, and you know, you've got the technology to be able to do that. Sort of any delays in interaction gives people sort of, you know, pause in terms of what's happening. And we need to make sure that we've got that consistent and constant communication to ensure that people know that, you know, what we've said we'll do, we'll do.
Moving house is up there with going to the dentist and public speaking for me. It's not something anyone wants to do because of all the things that you've sort of got to mentally check off and make sure that things are in the right spots. Did I read somewhere that you guys are working on like a one-click move?
We are. We're constantly looking at improving that moving experience. So we're working on technology, certainly for existing customers that we know information. I think the most frustrating thing with people, whether it's coming online or whether it's ringing in, is that they have to repeat all the information about themselves that ultimately a company should know. You know, what we're working on is to create an experience for which, you know, moving out of a home, you're moving into a new home, which, as you say, is extremely stressful as it is. And a lot of people do it many, many times. Some people might only do it once every 10 years. And being able to provide technology, whether it's 1 minute, one click move, which we ultimately would are aspiring to get to, and we believe we will very, very shortly, or just asking them the relevant questions, but not all the duplicate questions of, would you like the same bank account, or would you, what name would you like on the account? We should know all of that. And I think just trying to make it very easy for them.
I've got a great example of that. Actually, I had to replace my iPad with Telstra. You know how iPads have got a SIM card in them. So I ring Telstra and I say, here's my mobile phone number. I need to get my iPad replaced. And they ask me what my iPad mobile phone number is. And I'm like, don't you have that? Like, you know, on file. Couldn't you get to that quicker than I could?
In many industries, we're a highly regulated industry, so there are certain requirements that we have in terms of how we interact with customers, not unlike the real estate industry, that, you know, privacy questions, etc. And we take personal privacy and data privacy extremely seriously, and making sure that we're adhering to any compliance that we need to abide by is something that we do extremely well, but it is something that sometimes can affect the customer experience at the same time, so we need to balance that.
It must be a tricky balancing act, but I love where you're going with the one-click move. It sounds exciting. So, David, with your position at Direct Connect being CEO at Elite Agent, we love to learn from leaders in your position for other aspiring leaders and things like that. And this interview, obviously, is part of a series we call the Leadership Diaries, where we ask leaders such as yourself a bunch of questions to get an insight as to what we can do to be better leaders all round. So are you ready?
I am.
We're going to start easy and then sort of ease up. So what was your first job and what did it teach you?
Oh, wow. I'm going way, way back in history now. And I was still at school and I was doing a part-time job with a supermarket chain. So I worked in a deli serving customers. That taught me a lot around customer service and what you needed to do. And you can lose the right to have a bad day when you're in front of customers. I think that's my biggest lesson that I learned back when I was a 16-year-old working part-time at school, that you've got to do your job well, but you also need to treat the customers right.
Oh, I love it. That's great advice. What does the first hour of your day look like? Are you like a 5 a.m. clubber? How do you arrange your day?
No, I'm usually up about 6:30. I've got two boys. I've got a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old. They're normally up about an hour after me. First thing I do is I read the financial review. So I read the app. I find out what's going on. I look at the news. I'll check a few emails. Then I'll get ready for work. And some days, not every day, I like to take my youngest to school. I drop them off at school and I tend to be in the office somewhere between 8:30 and 9:00. But technology-wise, I'm always on, and first thing in the morning I am. People were getting emails from me pretty quickly as soon as I've got up.
Can you name someone that has had a tremendous impact on you as a leader?
Look, I've got to probably say my current boss, who's our group CEO of our business. He's one of those people I would say I'm a better person for knowing him. He's incredibly inspiring. I've got a lot of respect for people that can start something from nothing, and whether that's any business owner or innovator that can really, really take an idea and make it real. That was really the start of our business. That it came from nothing, a concept, an idea. And I'm talking from an energy retail perspective coming into Australia. There would have been, you know, 20 people in a small part of a very large building, and then building it up to what we have today. So he is an inspiration as a person as much as he is as a leader and a boss.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, there must be a lot of good ideas in your business within Direct Connect. So where generally do great ideas come from?
Oh, that's a great question. I would encourage them to come from anywhere and everywhere. And it depends on the idea. If we've got somebody that is on the phones talking to our customers, I love to hear from them in terms of how we can improve our business. We've got people that are looking at the data every day and looking at the analysis and finding the insights and finding those gems in there that we can improve what we do. We've got people out talking to our partners, our real estate network, really understanding their business and bringing back ideas in terms of how we can improve their lives. So it comes from all parts of our business, and we do encourage that in terms of anybody that's got an idea, bring it forward. Come and have a discussion. You'll get time to talk about it and think it through. And then if we believe it's got merit, then we take it to the next level.
So let's say you've got, and a lot of leaders in your position would be in the same boat, is you've got a lot of half a dozen good ideas. How do you choose the one that gets the most priority?
It is a challenge when you've got a lot of, you know, a lot of good ideas and a lot of smart people. And, you know, that's one of the things, you know, you want people that know stuff better than you do. So really it is taking it down in a pretty unemotional way, stripping it back in terms of what's the business case. I know this sounds boring, but it's tried and true. You know, let's make sure we understand the costs and the benefits. Let's understand the business impact that this idea will have. How quickly can we bring it to market? What are the risks associated with the idea? So there's a robust way of analysing and understanding what could be, and then we can allocate the resources appropriately and go for it. But we really only want to focus on one or two really good things and do them very, very well, rather than 10 different ideas and do them in a mediocre way. And that's one piece of advice I've always been given and I would always give, is focus on one or two things and do it extremely well.
And I reckon that's great advice too. What's your favourite question to ask someone in a job interview, and what does the answer tell you about that person?
I'll probably answer that in a different way, because I think the job interview process is quite a difficult one. And I think when you're thinking about making a decision about the business that you want to join, if somebody that's applying for a job, and also when you're interviewing somebody, you're making a decision potentially for the next 5 to 10 years in their career, and you're doing that in an environment that's relatively false. You know, when you've got a 1 hour interview and you've got some different questions you might ask. So for me, it's really getting to know the person. So when you're at the interview, you've clearly got the skills to be able to do the job, and that's why you're at the interview process. But it's really trying to get in behind who are you as a person and how would you cope in different situations. So there's not one particular question I'd really want to probe in terms of, tell me about you.
So it's more actually understanding the personality of the person and where their strengths might lie, how they like to work.
That's right. Probably their values and the value alignment to the organisation's values. I mean, our values really do drive us in everything we do and our decisions. And there needs to be, first and foremost, an absolute alignment of who we are as an organisation and how we behave, and your own values. And if they align, then it probably doesn't matter what you're doing and what you ultimately will go forward and do within the organisation. That values alignment is extremely important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I did read somewhere about your values and how important they are to you. So when you get a new employee in the business, how do you get them to understand the culture of the business as quickly as possible?
Well, one of the things that we do when we do get a new person, and we have quite a large induction process. So for somebody, for Direct Connect that's on the phones talking to people that are moving each day, we actually put them through a classroom setting for 3 weeks. And the first day of their induction is all about culture and values. And at the end of that day, it's really about, well, if, you know, what you've heard and what you've seen so far, if this is not for you, that's okay. And then we go into the more technical skills from there. So really immersing people in their first day or two in the organisation. They'll hear from a lot of leaders around the company. They'll hear about their own journey in terms of how their career has progressed through the company, what made them join in the first place. So they hear those stories, you know, very personal stories from people that have been here. And that allows them to see, again, what people are like within the organization, but also seeing how people interact within the organization. And so it's seeing values in action, I guess, rather than just words on a page.
Thinking about your own leadership journey as you've gone through your career, what advice would you give to someone going into a leadership position for the first time? Like, what advice do you wish you'd had 20 years ago?
I would say just be yourself. Be genuine. Be humble. Allow people to be themselves around you and encourage them to be authentic. I think people can look through, you know, if you're trying to put a front on. So, yeah, the biggest advice I would like to have been given and have been given and would give would just be yourself.
What is the most important thing you're working on right now and how are you making that happen?
Probably the most important thing is looking at what the next generation of technology that's coming that's going to affect our referral partners, our clients, and really understanding that wave of technology that's going to come into the real estate industry. We are talking to quite a number of companies in the prop tech and fintech markets to deepen our understanding of not only the current generation of software development. So obviously a lot of companies are going from enterprise and into cloud-based systems and looking for apps that will improve what they do. But then what is that next wave that is coming that's going to take it to another level? So we are really educating ourselves as an organization on what that looks like and talking to experts in the market to be ready for that.
That's interesting. So it's not just about the industry that you're in, but you're actually consulting experts in other industries as well for what they're doing moving forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got very strong partnerships with the likes of Google. We do a lot of work with them across our various businesses. We are talking to experts that are doing it themselves and understanding that. You know, if I use an example with open source banking, that's really sort of changing the fintech market. And, you know, we believe that's going to have an effect on what we're doing as well. And that combination of the property technology and financial technology merging is something we're very interested in and putting expertise into.
I mean, that would be very interesting, obviously, because you might go to one bank for a bill and you might go somewhere else for your, you know, the management of your property and you might, yeah, so it'd be very interesting to bring that all under one roof.
That's right. That's right.
Any predictions for the real estate industry for the next 12 months?
It's a market that's doing it tough. There's a lot of businesses out there that are probably seen a market that's been tougher than they've seen before. That means that level of productivity and efficiency that's needed in businesses is more important than it was before. Certainly what we're doing, so whilst we are a company when it comes to real estate agents that we look for leads that will ultimately allow us to put connections to it. So we act as a revenue stream to some extent, but we're looking for opportunities and partnerships that allow us to improve the cost efficiencies of business, to improve their productivity as a business as well. So when we're hiring, for example, and bringing our account management experience to it, we're now starting to hire out of software as a service markets. We're hiring out of research and data insight markets and bringing that expertise through to the real estate network. So we can be more as a consultant to real estate agents to help them improve their cost efficiencies, improve their revenue streams and cash flow, and ultimately improve their productivity.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. So if I could kind of summarize that and tell me if I get this good or not so good, but you need to look outside into other industries while actually focusing on the types of talent that you need internally to marry the two together to be able to provide a better service all round to both your consumer and your customer.
That was more eloquent than what I said, but that's absolutely right. We need to bring multiple skills and experience. And I would say the number one thing that's emerging is the understanding of the value of data. And I mean that really in the insights and actionable insights that people can really take that and say, okay, how do I make a difference in my business? And we are a data-rich company. We have a lot of information about people that are moving home. We have a lot of information about what's happening with tenancy, et cetera, where people are moving to and from. So that urban migration and the regional movements that we see, and being able to provide value using that data back to our real estate network is a value add that we can uniquely provide.
Yeah, that would be really interesting for real estate agents to sort of get in their minds the length of tenancy and all of those sorts of things based on their area, because I'm not sure that anyone's actually quite got a handle on that whole thing.
Absolutely. And so when, you know, people will use a real estate agent when they're leasing, that meets their needs. But when they move home, they'll potentially go to another real estate agent, and we track them. So we know where people are moving. Again, I will say data privacy is extremely important, but we equally could then bring the house back, and we know that there's a new tenant within that house. So we know about the house, and we know about the people and the demographic of the people that are moving.
Yeah, interesting. I think, you know, like data presents so many opportunities, and it's going to be interesting to see where all of that goes in the next couple of years for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
David, I want to thank you. We've covered a lot of ground in this, everything from new offices to some leadership tips and what's happening at Direct Connect and all of that sort of thing. So if there was one thing that you would like people to remember as a result of listening to this, what would it be?
I think the main thing would be, in a leadership sense, is be yourself, be authentic, be genuine. And I would say that for anybody that's talking to a customer, that level of empathy when you're talking to a customer, again, be yourself.
Absolutely. And don't forget to have fun.
Ah, that's it.
Absolutely. David Holman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.